It's 10:30 and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Dan Heyman with Jen Romano and Dan Silver. It's 3 degrees and raining outside our East York studios. Here are your headlines for March 23rd. Members of Toronto's Sikh community protest the arrival in town of India's Minister of Road Transport and Highways. Finally, signs of some progress in the ongoing TV versus cable dispute, and Google is redirecting Chinese users to Hong Kong-based search engines. And now on to our top stories. Members of Toronto's Sikh community are planning to protest outside the King Edward Hotel where Kamal Nath, India's Minister of Road Transport and Highways, is speaking Tuesday night. Today, some Sikhs continue to accuse the Indian Congress Party, to which Nath originally belonged, of organizing Sikh pogroms after Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was killed by her Sikh bodyguards in 1984. More than 3,000 Indian Sikhs were killed in 4 days. All across Canada, Sikhs are demanding that Nath be sent home. There is still an ongoing dispute as to whether or not he was involved during that fateful November. The Toronto Star reports that Premier Dalton McGuinty was unaware of Sikh concerns, while some Sikhs are saying that his visits are kept low profile so as not to cause problems within the community. This is Nath's third meeting with the Premier since 2001. And something smells rotten in Rouge Hill. For more on this story, The Observer's Megan Harris reports.
The suburbs of Rouge Hill are normally tidy and uncluttered, but according to 67-year-old resident, this is changing. Lauren Mann, who lives on Chippays Court, says he's seen an increase in garbage, especially bagged animal waste, being left on lawns and curbs around his neighborhood.
For the last month or two, when I go for my early morning walk around the block, I find these torpedo bags, I call them, which is a doggy poop bag. And the person, they pick it up off the lawn and that, and then they discard it either on that grass boulevard or along the curb. So as you gain momentum over the week or two, all you see is a bunch of these bags.
Mann says this problem is starting to reflect negatively on the community and hopes a solution can be found.
As the community gets older, we can't stop the aging of the community, but you can still keep it up nice. And it's a middle class to higher income area, so there are pretty good educated people that should know better.
Toronto Animal Services is able to step in, but first they must identify who is leaving the dog bags behind. Megan Harris, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
The Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission took a step forward today in the ongoing compensation battle between private broadcasters and cable providers. The Toronto Star reports that the CRTC has recommended that the two return to the negotiating table. This follows a release by the CRTC saying that cable and satellite providers should begin paying private broadcasters for the right to use their signal. There has been an ongoing battle between the two parties amid lost advertisement revenues due to last year's economic recession. The CRTC has left the final decision regarding who gets paid and who doesn't up to the federal courts. If a new regime is agreed upon, it will go into effect in August of 2011, when private broadcasters have to renew their licenses. In international news, the New York Times reports that Google ceased operations of its China-based search engines on Monday. This comes amidst concerns that Chinese hackers were intruding on Google's web space while the Chinese government was overly censoring search results. Google redirected search queries from the Chinese to Hong Kong-based service, but the jury is still out on whether or not all of mainland China will have access to the Hong Kong service. Even though China is a large market that is still growing, the Times reported that revenue lost with this closure will only be a fraction of the $25 billion in global revenues pulled by Google last year. Those are our top stories for today. On to Dan Silver with sports.
Thanks, Dan. Toronto actor Scott Cavallaro knows what it's like to be a struggling actor, even if he does get work. Here's Toronto Observer's Reshma Lucknow with more.
Being neuroscience major at York University, but better known as the sex robot in the HBO series Forbidden Science, or Anthony, the boy wonder, from Keys to the VIP, a reality TV game show where players vie to pick up women at a bar. He was set to play the lead role in Forbidden Science, but lost it when his agents forgot to mention to producers that he had shaven the beard he grew for the part. Cavallaro lost the role and was offered a smaller part, the sex robot. According to Cavallaro, he had to push aside his inhibitions and say,
"Yes, this is erotica. Yes, this is nudity. No, this is not the direction I want to go in, but yes, this is experience. And it is ultimately going to pay the bills."
Cavallaro soon found himself juggling multiple offers to play racy roles when all he wants to do is break out of his explicit typecast.
"I don't want to be known as that guy. I don't want to have all these credits on my resume where all I do is sex."
Cavallaro says there isn't much more that can shock him after playing a sex robot. This summer, he will be producing his own show in Toronto's Fringe Festival called Rochdale Living the Dream.
In order to build a career, you got to do reputable things and appropriate things, but in order to survive, you got to do what it takes.
He will be playing a junkie hippie. This is Rishma Luknath, Toronto Observer News.
Good morning, everybody. I just received breaking news involving one of the most shocking sports scandals in history. Apparently, the Leafs will not make the playoffs this year. Of course, I'm joking. The scandal I'm referring to is Tiger Woods' first public interview since the shocking confession of extramarital affairs. Kelly Tillman of the Golf Channel interviewed Tiger Woods regarding his change in personality. Tiger said he wants to put the past behind him and get back to doing what he does best, sinking balls in 18 different holes. The Leafs take on Florida tonight, and once again, Brian McCabe will get the chance to show respect for his former team by saying, "Na-na-na-na-na, I'm going to be in the playoffs." X-rays show Philadelphia Flyers Iron Man Jeff Carter ends his consecutive game streak at 286 after breaking a bone in his foot from a slap shot Sunday night against Atlanta. Carter's biggest disappointment is not missing the rest of the regular season games, but losing the rugged nickname of Iron Man to Boo Boo on Your Footsie Boy. And now here's Jen with this morning's entertainment news.
Thanks, Dan, and hi, everyone. Conan O'Brien is banned from American Idol. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the comedian was in talks to make an appearance next month in American Idol's annual Idol Gives Back, a special hosted by Fox to raise money for AIDS relief in Africa. But his former studio, NBC, got word of the appearance and put a stop to it. O'Brien left the studio's Tonight Show back in March, not on the best of terms. According to NBC, part of the separation deal banned his involvement with any other network until May 1st. A representative for O'Brien insists that an American Idol producer approached him and not the studio. NBC believes it's a breach of contract. The Queen of Pop finds her king. According to Screen Daily, Ewan McGregor has signed on to play King Edward VIII in Madonna's latest film, EW. She's set to direct the film and co-write the screenplay. It's a biopic about King Edward, who relinquished his throne to marry American divorcee Wallace Simpson. Up in the Air's Vera Farmiga will portray Simpson. Bright Star's Abbie Cornish will also star in the film. A production date has yet to be released. Working as an actor in Canada can be difficult. The Canadian film industry is smaller than its American counterpart and commands a smaller profile. And as Observer Radio's Michael Gibson reports, actors also have to learn how to properly navigate the media landscape.
Working as an actor in Canada can be difficult. The Canadian film industry is smaller than its American counterpart and commands a smaller profile. And as Observer Radio News' Michael Gibbons reports, actors also have to learn how to properly navigate the media landscape. Actors are the most visible parts of any film or play. Because of this, they have a special responsibility to the production to be available for interviews. Actor-screenwriter Sujeet Varughese knows that he needs to be on his game during an interview.
Now, in the last 10 years with the rise of tabloid journalism, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into, so you have to be careful because an actor is the public face of whatever they're involved in, and the public blames you regardless. Like, they blame you for bad writing.
Stage actor Evan Bouillon finds it strange that people who deal with the media, like theater actors, are not better trained for interviews.
I think you learn over time what you should say and what you shouldn't say. Like, you know, they train athletes how to do interviews, you know, and they kind of let actors kind of flounder around and discover what they should and shouldn't say.
And a good interview benefits journalists as well as actors. Michael Gibbons, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And that's all for entertainment. Stay tuned, there's more after this.
Every time my relatives visit, they eat me out of house and home. There's my Uncle Louis. Whenever we have a cookout, he has two double cheeseburgers, hey, three helpings of baked beans, half a dozen hot dogs and a diet soda. It's ridiculous. Oh, and talk like father, like son. You should see Cousin Freddy. Every time I turn around, he's got his face in the fridge. This guy doesn't just snack between meals. He snacks between the salad and the entree. I'm sure I'm glad I shop at Winn-Dixie, because they have low prices on everything in the store. Meat, produce, baked beans, everything, hey. It's important for me to save on money on groceries, especially when my Aunt Sophie's idea of a light lunch is anything she can pick up with a fork. So from the bottom of my pocket, book Winn-Dixie, I thank you.
That's our show for now. We'll have more news later, but be sure to visit us online at torontoobserver.ca for in-depth coverage of all our top stories. For Dan Silver and Jen Romano, I'm Dan Heyman. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.